providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed that first two segments. Now in this segment, we are going to continue to focus on the commodities sector. I was intending on switching focus a little bit outside of the precious metals, but as I mentioned, the first two segments that I recorded with Adrian Day, we recorded those later in the day on Thursday, and I'm recording this segment kind of middle of the day on Friday. I am chatting with Jeff Christian, managing partner over at CPM Group. And Jeff, we're going to have to look back at the precious metals because you look at, let's start with gold. Gold is having a very bad day right now, a bad end to the week. You look at the futures markets, gold, as we're recording this, is down over $50, trading $17.18. On the spot market, gold is down to about that just above $17.20 level, but it has been slightly lower than that. Look, this is a big sell-off. It's breaking that support from November, that November low, and it has a lot of, I think, precious metals investors wondering, where is the next stopping point for gold? This correction already over 7 months long. We're down almost 20% in the high from August, over 5% down just in the first 2 months of this year. Jeff, what do you have to say about this consistent pressure that's being put on gold in this very bad end to the week and end to the month?
Well, a lot of it is technically inspired selling. And, you know, first off, let's be honest. The price of gold now is back to where it was in June of the year. And, you know, it did, in fact, spike higher and got up to 1960 briefly at the end of December, the beginning of January. But since that time, it's been falling. And a lot of it is like, you know, we looked at the market and we saw 17, you know, when the price was, a week ago, the price was 1820. And we were saying, okay, if 1820 doesn't hold, it's going to be 1800. If 1780 doesn't hold, it's going to be 1760. 1760 was breached this morning, and the next stop was 1720. In terms of where it can go, you know, we have been saying that we wouldn't be surprised to see the price fall to 1720 or 1700, maybe even 1680. We didn't think that we'd see it quite this week in the first quarter, but we thought the second and third quarters could see that kind of weakness. And we still think that the second and third quarters could see that kind of weakness with the price starting to recover, you know, in the fourth quarter of this year. One of the things I think that's going on right now is that you are in the post-Lunar New Year. And the way the gold market works, Lunar New Year is the time for giving gifts of gold in China and in other Asian countries. And a lot of the gold dealers, retailers, and jewelers and coin shops will buy the metal in anticipation of retail demand. If the retail demand is not there, then they sell off their inventories. You know, and if you go back to 2013, when the price went like from, you know, 1640 to 1580, and then from 1580 to 1280, that sharp decline actually began after the Lunar New Year in China in 2013. And basically what was happening was that the retailers had bought a lot of inventory expecting strong demand because the price had fallen to 1580. And they figured a lot of people would buy a lot of gold during the Lunar New Year holiday. They didn't. So after the Lunar New Year holiday, the retailers dumped their inventory, and that took the price below 1580, and it just catapulted down. So we're sort of seeing the same kind of thing now that you saw back then. And I do think that the price, you know, our view is that the price probably finds support around, you know, 1680, 1720. So, you know, where we are now or maybe a little bit lower, but moves basically sideways for several months before starting to rise again.
Okay, so you do see eventually this pullback or correction slowing down. It sounds like we'll need a little bit of a digestion time to at least, well, stop that downtrend. But Jeff, if we look at other markets, and we'll get to a number of these other markets, the one that just is glaring, I think, at everybody is what's happening in the Treasury market with especially long-term yields. But now even short-term yields have started to rise. But you look at something like the 10-year U.S. Treasury note, we started February at a little under 1.1%. We're closing February over 1.5%. So that does naturally put a lot of pressure on the metals, especially without any sort of corresponding, really skyrocketing of inflation. How crucial do you think it is to continue to watch the Treasury market?
I mean, Treasury market's the end-all and be-all of it all. You know, first off, we're not worried about inflation. We don't think that inflation is problems. But I think the increase in interest rates is very central to the weakness that you're seeing, not only in gold, but across commodities. And it's not even precious metals. It's other commodities, you know, have been hit too. I think that rise in interest rates is good. But I think you have to realize, I think there are two very distinct markets that you have to pay attention to. One is the longer term investors who say, oh yeah, but it's only 1.5%. You know, is anybody going to say, I don't want to hold gold and silver because I can lock in 1.5% in treasuries? Probably not, you know, and that's nominal. If you adjust it for inflation, you still have negative real rates, you know. So that, you know, the longer term investors are kind of perplexed at the weakness in commodities predicated on a relatively small upward move at historically low treasury rates. But then there's a whole nother market, which are people who use valuation models based off of the treasuries. And every little tick in a treasury, up or down, has an immediate effect on the stock market and on a range of commodities because, you know, they will mark up or down their price expectations or what is a market clearing price based on changes in the interest rate. So as the interest rate rises, all of your other assets should fall in value in order to remain competitive with treasuries. And that's one of the things that you're seeing. And that's particularly important because of the large amount of computer-driven, institutionally managed money across commodity markets and as well as stocks and corporate bonds and currency markets. You have a lot of machines that are value model driven. And as the interest rate ticks up, it says everything else should be cheaper.
Fair, but not everything is cheaper, right? The U.S. equity markets, they're showing a little bit of loss of momentum to the upside, and they have had a couple weak days this week, but nothing really corresponds to the weakness that we're seeing in gold.
Well, it's in gold and silver, but again, gold was at a record price 6 months ago, and it's come off a little bit. It's still higher than it was probably, you know, at any point prior to last June, the second quarter of last year. You'd have to go back to 2012 to see, not even 2011 to see prices this high. So yeah, gold has come off from that high, but it's still relatively high. Platinum went from $800 probably 8 months ago to broke above the $1,000 ceiling that has really been in place for about 5 years, broke above 1,100, broke above 1,300 twice this week, and now it's off sharply. It's down below 1,200 again. So, you're seeing a lot of these prices that had been inflating come off. You haven't really seen it in oil, and that's a strange one because oil has not only the interest rate factor, but it's kind of any number of bearish fundamentals, and yet the oil price is holding up relatively strongly right now. I mean, it's off a little bit today, but it's not off a great deal yet.
No, yeah, and to end the week, we are seeing some weakness across the board in commodities, but one of the trades, it seems like, has been this reopen trade when it comes to U.S. equity markets and even to commodities, because we have seen copper screaming higher. Copper's taking it on the chin again, to end this week, but it's still at, just under 420. Nickel is up at still over 850. And oil, yeah, that's down over a dollar as we're recording, but that's still at $62. How important is it to understand that there is this reopening trade that's happening? Optimism abounds, it seems like, in a lot of investors' minds, and that is also contributing to, well, these market moves.
Yeah, and you know, one of the reasons why we thought that the prices probably would be weaker in the second and third quarters is because we thought, yeah, in the first quarter, you've got this optimism trade. You've got the vaccines being approved and beginning to be rolled out. And there was this tremendous, you know, oh, yeah, the war is over. No, this is the beginning. This is D-Day. And now we have 18 months of working our way across Europe. So there was a lot of optimism that's been built into assets on the expectation that, you know, oh, the pandemic is now under control because we have vaccines and the economy is going to be recovering. We had a very strong fourth quarter real GDP. And now you're starting to see people say, wait a second. Yeah, we have vaccines, but it's going to be, you know, the third quarter of this year, if we're lucky, before you have sufficiently vaccinated people in Europe and the United States to start, you know, taking your mask off in certain company. And it's going to be 2022 before the world is there because, you know, the U.S. and Europe are bogarting the vaccines right now insofar as you can get any. So there's a reduction in the optimism vis-a-vis the pandemic. And then there's also a realization, and I think the Fed brought this up yesterday in a presentation. It's like, you know, yeah, GDP is one thing, but look at the jobs. Look at employment. And employment is still really bad. You still have 10 million people unemployed now that weren't unemployed in February of 2020. You know, so GDP is one measure of the economy, but a more important measure is employment, perhaps, you know, and not getting that, not understanding that is what cost George H. Bush re-election in 1992. It was the economy, stupid. He was going around saying, I don't know why people are complaining about the economy because GDP is positive. You know, we're out of the recession of 1990-91. I don't know why people are complaining about the economy. And it's like, well, look at unemployment and look at real earnings because those things are still very weak. And we're in a similar situation right now, you know, and you can have somebody say, well, look at how strong GDP was in the fourth quarter. Okay, yeah, well, how strong is it going to be this year? And go away from GDP, go away from corporate earnings and say, well, what about employment, unemployment, real earnings, commercial real estate? You know, what's going to happen in the mortgage market? Start looking at what's going on in the municipal bond market over the course of the week. There's a lot of people who are starting to say, gee, you know, we're not out of the battle yet.
Yeah, fair enough. And I get that argument, right? There is a lot of debt out there and higher interest rates, even though you can argue, yeah, still fine, the 10-year is only at 1.5%, but it was well under 1% for quite a while there, almost all of 2020 until it finally broke higher. So, Jeff, you did bring up the Fed. And the Fed, okay, they mentioned that they're still a bit concerned about unemployment, but the Fed's been sitting on the sidelines for the last 7+ months, and it sounds like they're going to continue to stand on the sidelines. What's going to change the Fed's policy, and how important is it for a change in policy from the Fed to put a base in gold?
Well, I'm not sure what kind of policy change you're considering. I mean, you know, the Fed has made it very clear that they will be as accommodative as they need to be to keep the economy from deteriorating further.
So when I think do that they get will. More accommodative?
Well, you know, they've been pretty accommodative over the last 12 months already, and they're continuing to be pretty accommodative as far as I'm concerned. But you know, I think the message that they're trying to purvey is we will be as accommodative as we need to be, and we have plenty of bullets with which to fight this battle. So I don't know if they feel that they need to be more accommodative right now. They're assessing the market and they're saying, yeah, there are problems. As I said, you know, they said, you know, yeah, GDP is looking better, but our job is to try to balance price inflation, prices. Price stability and full employment. And from a economic perspective, the employment is not responding in line with GDP, so we're going to continue to be as accommodative as we need to be. Not saying that we need to do more right now, and quite frankly, we're watching the fiscal policy and what happens with the $1.9 trillion relief package that is being used as a football in Congress. I think that the Fed is sort of waiting to see what happens on the fiscal side, but they're ready to be as accommodative as possible. I don't think they're going to be tightening monetary accommodation anytime in the near future.
Okay. And that's important to note then. Jeff, let's talk about some of the miners then. I know that you work with some of the miners. You will interact with a lot of the majors out there. And look, you look at something like GDX, which is the gold miners ETF, that is now sitting at new support down in, let's say, the 30 to 31 region. But that has been weak. We're over 30% off of these highs. The majors have been generating some nice cash flow, some good earnings, but that hasn't mattered because of the fact that gold's moving down. How do you see the overall health of these majors?
Yeah, you know, I have had some serious reservations about the majors, and I continue to have them. I think that, you know, I've been spending the week on a virtual roadshow in South Africa. So I've been paying a lot of attention to the platinum majors. And the problem is, you know, yeah, they've got stronger prices and have generated enormous profits. And their answer is, let's go spend this on capital expenditures rather than consider husbanding it or dividending some out and giving our investors a return. And I think that that's perhaps a bigger problem in the South African platinum sector right now than in, say, the gold sector. But the reality is that investors continue to be extremely wary of what the executive management of the majors is going to do with this newfound wealth. Are they going to squander it the way they have in past bull markets, or are they going to husband it and not go off and say, well, let's go buy some more overpriced assets during this leg up in the share market? So I still have a lot of reservations. I probably have more reservations about the majors now than I did, say, 10 years ago or 20 years ago. But, you know, I am very cautious about them.
So how does that carry through the system? Usually, if we want big money to come into the market again, it comes into the majors. But do you think bigger investors are also concerned about these majors?
Yeah, they're not there. I mean, they're not racing into that market the way they have in the past. You know, and it's partly because I guess the big investors have gotten so much bigger that, you know, there really isn't any gold mining company that has a market cap large enough to really accommodate the largest investment management companies. Yeah, these are micro cap. You know, gold mining companies are micro cap companies compared in the minds of the largest asset management companies.
Well, these miners need to run higher, right? They're nowhere close to where they were when gold was last at 2000. But of course, we have pulled back from there. So, Jeff, when you look at the commodity sector in general, are you seeing optimism or any sort of hope when it comes to those investors that are saying, I want to invest in commodities, but boy, oh boy, just to end this week, it doesn't look great?
I you know, what we're finding is, it's the same thing that you're seeing in the bond market. You have short-term investors who are very much pessimistic, and then you have long-term investors who say, okay, this is a short-term pause in a longer bull market. And we've been actually saying for some time, for years, we've been saying that we could see the gold price start to rise and then sort of consolidate in 2021, 2022 before moving higher later. And I think that there are any number of investors who have had that same view. Maybe we're just talking to the same club that we belong to, and so it's, you know, a self-reinforcing commentary. But I think there are a lot of investors who think, okay, this is a pause. This is a pause that could last, you know, a year or two in a larger upward, broad upward move in commodity prices.
Okay, so maybe just some more time then, hey? That's where we should leave it, is that the market just might need a little bit more time to settle itself out. And, well, quite frankly, bullishness is still one of the key factors in these markets, and that's why everybody seems to be distracted from at least the precious metals. But again, the base metals have been doing very well, so that is something to consider. Jeff, we're going to wrap it up here. It's great having you on the show, as always. I hope everybody enjoyed this weekend show. I did focus a lot more on the precious metals, but I think it was warranted due to this breakdown. Disappointing for a lot of precious metals bulls, but Jeff, even as you said, we're still at over 1,700, and yes, this pullback, well, it was actually kind of expected, but it just needs to stop at some point, because quite frankly, there's a lot of people that just aren't paying attention to this sector again, unfortunately. But hey, Jeff, great chatting with you, buddy. Everybody, please go back throughout the week, listen to all those daily editorials and all those company interviews that I'm recording. I'm getting a lot of positive feedback. I'll keep doing it throughout the weeks. I'll be back with everybody Monday. Jeff, everybody listening, I hope you all have a great weekend.
Thank you.